Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
It is a rivalry series that has more storylines than we could ever get to in a week. We're going to do our best with you on Sports Talk Mississippi this week. Richard Cross, Brian Haydad, Michael Borky. And time to go to the Farm Bureau phone line. Check out favrates.com and go with the home team, Mississippi Farm Bureau. A Mississippi native who played at Mississippi State and had one heck of a head of hair. Ben Beckwith joins us right now. Former offensive lineman at Mississippi State. Ben, haven't seen you post-football. I have to know, is the hair like it was in 2014? Or have you changed things up a little bit?
Man, it is. It's extremely. It's one extreme to the other. I have a fade and kind of a business casual cut now, and I'm about 80 pounds lighter, so I look a lot different.
Well, there you go. Good for you. Hey, I want to start here because this is, to me, one of the coolest things that we have in college football. You were a Burlsworth Award finalist in 2014. It's an award that was named after Brandon Burlsworth at Arkansas, former walk-on that turned into a great player, tragically gone far too soon. I'm curious, maybe in real time in 2014, when you were nominated for that award, and maybe even more so looking back, did that have a significant impact on you? Did that feel like a big deal?
Well, I kind of tell the story because this comes up a lot, and a lot of people are not aware of it more than they really should be. I mean, it's a national award. It's a huge honor, and it's in place of someone that did some tremendous things on the field. But I tell everybody, I was an all SEC player, I was all American, lineman of the week, all this other stuff. And I said, and then people ask me, what was your favorite nomination or favorite award? And I always tell them it was that one, due to the fact of it kind of gives the backdrop of what all happened in my career as far as starting as a walk-on and then leaving as a all SEC, all American, starter and being a major contributor to a good team. And I think that award kind of bundles that whole description up into one. When you tell someone that actually does know what the Burlsworth Trophy is, they kind of perk up a little bit like, man, that's pretty impressive, So, and then, to go along with it, I know we got a guy that's up for it, and that year our fans were tremendous. I actually won the fan vote and came in second in voting in general for that award and lost to a great receiver from East Carolina. It was the whole experience was awesome going up there and seeing his locker that's got a glass case, and then knowing the story. Then the movie came out a couple years later, so it's all kind of gotten bigger, and more people are more recognize it more than I guess in the past for whatever reason. But it was a great honor. I enjoyed every minute of that, and that's probably one of my favorite accolades from college.
So Ben, I love what you said there, because for people that know the history of the Burlsworth Award, you said it paints the backdrop for what you accomplished. So how did you do it? How did you go from walk-on at Benton Academy in 2010 to you're playing on special teams a little bit at 11 and playing on special teams a lot, and then, as you said, finishing as an all-SEC and offensive lineman and an All-American as well? How'd you do that?
Man, a lot of it was probably, I say this, trying to say it in the right way, was kind of, betting on myself, a little arrogant maybe, a kid from I think I had 17 or 18 kids on my high school football team, and
wow.
Just from a small town, and, just had everything stacked against me, and always kind of had those naysayers that always told me I was crazy, they told me I should go to the local junior college and play football and do the role like all, so many others have done, which, not trying to downplay that. That's a great, a great way to do things. But I kind of had a different path in mind for myself, and I bet on myself. And my family, luckily, supported me and had the means to send me to a four-year university without a scholarship. And I just got up there and I had a chip on my shoulder, and I wanted to prove everyone wrong, as bad as that is to say. I just wanted, and that motivated me almost more than getting on the field at times when I, in my early career, was just to get out. And there were times in 2010 when I was sitting in the stands as a player for Mississippi State and not on the sidelines. Like, I had to watch the game from the stands, and that just motivated me even more. And I think I earned a lot of respect, my first year or two on campus when nobody really knew who I was as far as internally, as far as coaches and players. And I think if you talk to anybody now, that I think they recognize what I did in my early days as far as off-season training and earning the respect of the coaches and players, and then earning a role. You know, most of our class that year redshirted besides, I think, two players. And then, you know, from 11 to 14, we all pretty well played, you know, a bunch of snaps as a whole. And, you know, like you said, significant snaps on special teams and things that Coach Mullen wanted me to kind of be the leader on certain things, on shield, on punt, which is pretty important to him, and things like that, that internally a lot of guys respected more than your average, you know, Saturday college football fan. And then it led me to my junior year when I was actually a backup going into the Oklahoma State game. And, you know, I'd been put on scholarship, all that, so all that was accomplished. And my main goal then was to be a guy that, you know, that the team could lean on and be a role player and be a leader. And then when Justin went down against Oklahoma State, everything just kind of fell in place. As bad as an injury is, it gave me an opportunity to prove myself, and I never let that – you'll never let go of that spot. I started the rest of my career at right guard and then one game at center. And the rest is history, man. It wrote my book and has taken me places that I never fathomed I would go. And got to go to the NFL and have had a blessed life ever since. And like I said, I always tell people I take advantage of being in the right place at the right time and, you know, having kind of recognition in that circle, especially in the state. And it's kind of trampolined me into – you know, successful career out of football and have a great family and son, and everything's been great. So Mississippi State gave me all that. So I have nothing but great things to say about that. And I could go on for days about it. But I hope that gives you kind of a backdrop of what you're asking.
So. Absolutely.
Great answer, Ben. Look, we got to talk about the Egg Bowl now. It's time to talk about 2013 and that incredible game. Obviously,
I thought you wanted to talk about 2014.
No, we didn't want to talk about that one at all.
No, let's not do that.
So that game, Ben, you know, being in the stands, everybody thinks Dak Prescott's not playing. And obviously right. The story of that game is he comes in the fourth quarter and just sort of come off out of the bullpen to get the win. When did the team know he was going to be able to go?
I think I'm trying to remember this right. If I remember correctly, and I could butcher this some – but I don't think anyone, including the coaching staff, anticipated. I think there was a plan in place, whereas if Damian, you know, came in and just absolutely struggled and was, you know, caught in the moment, couldn't do anything, that we would, you know, maybe go to that. But the way it all kind of unfolded, I don't think anybody anticipated it going down that way. You know, I think I think that was worst-case scenario, and worst-case scenario happened. And Damian did love Damian to death. He did a great job, but there was a moment in that game when everything was starting to kind of switch. We held momentum for so long that game, and then all of a sudden there's a few things that happen, and then bam, if we don't put Dak in, if Dakota doesn't come in the game, I don't know that we don't, you know, I don't think we win that game. But to answer your question, long story short, no, I don't think any – I mean, I know I didn't anticipate it, and when it happened, you know, it just brought juice to the stadium, to the team, to the everything, and it just changed the whole outlook of the game. Thank God, Dak probably shouldn't have took that. He couldn't feel his fingers, and I mean, he had all kind of issues, and I think that just shows you how much of a leader he is, whether, you know, he put his health aside, whether he should have or not, that's different story for a different day, but he did, and he came in and he won that game for us, not to say by himself, but in a major role, he did. I mean, without him, I still don't think we win that game. So.
Ben, you alluded to it. It felt different. We've only got about a minute until the break. Do you have time, by the way, to hang with us through the break and spend a few more minutes with us?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, good. Let me ask you this quickly before the break, about a minute left. You alluded to this. When he came onto the field, and I remember vividly the momentum or the mood in the stadium changed. Did you guys all of a sudden go, we know how this one's turning out. We're winning this game, period. Don't know how, but we're going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those, like you said, no, I didn't have a vision of how, you know, I didn't have a, you know, we're going to run this play, do this thing, or this whatever. I just knew that I knew Dakota. I knew he was one of my best friends in the world, still is. And I said, man, look. I mean, we all as O-line looked at each other when Mullen and Hevesy told us that, you know, hey, they're going, you know, Dak's going in the game. You got to protect your butt off. You know, you got to do whatever you got to do because the guy's hurt. And then everybody on the sideline, you immediately felt juice. You immediately felt it in the stands. You immediately, I mean, like you said, I mean, as a fan, I'm sure you saw it. I mean, it just you had a feeling something special was about to happen, and nonetheless, it did. You know, on that fourth down run that I still didn't know was fourth down, and then the fumble on the with Nico and all that. So it was just it was surreal. It was one of those moments I'll remember the rest of my life, because I think going into that game we were big underdogs, I think, if I remember correctly, but. Maybe I'm visioning that wrong. I think maybe we had ourselves as underdogs in my mind. Maybe we were also on the line, the betting line and all that too.
So. Ben, hold that thought just for a second. We're going to take a quick timeout, come back, and we'll talk about this year's game, visiting with Ben Beckwith, former offensive lineman at Mississippi State. Sports Talk Mississippi, streaming at supertalk.fm.
And hopefully it'll be an uneventful drive.
You can never not laugh at that one.
I'm calling foul on that one. That was not an egg ball. That was an Alabama game.
Yes, but there's some highlights that just deserve to be there.
All right.
There is an ebb and flow to these. You're about to start to poke your chest out a little bit, and then, boom, you just get humbled immediately.
I want the audio of Richard getting barreled over on the Florida sideline, if we can find that
thing. Yeah, I don't know if you can find that or not. Ben Beckwith is back with us. And, Ben, I compared the end of our conversation to sometimes an offensive lineman has got to be able to adjust on the fly and just bail out his quarterback who makes a bonehead play. That was me at the end of that. I forgot what we had coming up. So I really appreciate you circling back with us. The stories were so good. And I wanted to get your take on this year's game. I know you still stay very locked in on Mississippi State. You follow this team. When you look at this matchup, what do you see? Ole Miss, Mississippi State 2021.
Man, I see, I'll start with Mississippi State, who I obviously pay more attention to. I mean, it seems like to me, from outside looking in and seeing what this team's done, I mean, you got a ton of young guys that have developed and learned this, very complicated system, and have have a flow to them now. You know, the quarterback seems like he's playing with a little more swagger to him and a little more confidence, and the receivers, they just seem like, when the ball goes up, they know they're going to catch it, and that's something that's different from years past. We've had some good receivers here or there, but we haven't had a core like we have right now, I don't think, where it's just, throw it up. It doesn't matter what number's on the jersey. They're going to make a play on the ball, it seems like, And the running game has come around some, and we actually run the ball, have ran the ball efficiently at times this year. And the offensive line seems to be playing a little better, and the defense is obviously has been the strong suit of the team all year. And I think they're just floating. Everything's moving in the right direction. They're getting every game they get better. It seems like, which is what you want, for especially from a young team. And I think they have a chance in any game they play. I obviously there's been some games this year they lost that they shouldn't have, and that is what it is. But I think if you talk to any of those guys on that team, I bet you they would tell you that they don't feel like they've lost. Every game that they've lost, they feel like they could have won outside of maybe the Alabama game. It was what it was this year. But I mean, I feel like every game they've been in, they could have or have had an opportunity to win. And that's all you can ask for at the end of the day. And to be that young and kind of a team that doesn't really have a ton of senior leadership, I guess you would say. I mean, to see those young guys step up, and I feel great about the future, and I think they have a great chance Thursday night against a real good Ole Miss team.
How would your career? That may not be the right way to ask it. I'm just thinking about playing offensive line in this offense, yeah, compared to the offense that you guys ran, where it was so heavily dictated on running the football.
Well, I can speak for a lot of fat guys that play offensive line. Passing the ball every down would be a nightmare for me. Especially in practice when you're talking about blocking Chris Jones every day and Fletcher Cox and so on and so forth, and Danico and Preston and all those guys. Who wants to be backpedaling every play, which is essentially what you're doing. But, for this era of football, it gives you a great opportunity to go to the NFL and earn a bunch of money. The way these teams pass the ball now, if you're a seasoned guy that can pass block consistently and win, 85, 90% of your snaps, We can teach a big guy to go run block, right? I mean, it takes a little inner talent and athleticism to be able to be a finesse, pass blocker. I mean, you're going against these defensive ends in the SEC and these three techniques that are elite athletes that can quick twitch, can move left or right, can power move you, long arm you, whatever they want to do. And for them to know pretty much 90% of the time that you're going to drop back and pass the ball, I mean, they're at an advantage. Like I said, 90% of the time. I mean, you're not as an offensive lineman, you know, physically you shouldn't win every battle. But you know, more times than not, these guys that are good really to find a way to do it. But for me personally, I think you could learn to do it. But if I had a choice, I would much rather run downhill and put a little weight on my hand and go try to block a guy or get in a combination block with a tackle or something like that. But I don't think it's a disadvantage, I think it's kind of neutral. You just kind of take it for what it is and take advantage of your opportunities and make sure that you get your job done, which these guys have gotten better, hour by hour, day by day, game by game. And you can tell that the quarterback has gotten better with the offensive line getting better, which is what you want to see.
Ben, one of those guys who's gotten better and better is Charles Cross, announced today as the Hull Trophy winner, as the top offensive lineman in the state. Obviously, Mississippi State has had quite a few guys win that award. When you watch Charles and you see what he's able to do, what do you think of him?
Man, he seems like he's still raw. He's an athletic kid. He's definitely got the frame where he can put some more mass on from the outside looking in. I've never met the guy in person, but just my perception from TV and seeing him play the game, he's got a lot of raw talent. He's very good. I don't want raw talent to sound bad. I mean, that's a good thing. It means he's got a ton of upside, right? I mean, he's already a great player, and he's still not really developed where he can be. And I think you've seen some guys come through that school, both on the defensive side and offensive side, that have kind of looked like him in college. And then, future down the road, 2, 3, 4 years from now in the NFL, I think he's going to look like a different guy. I think he's going to be a lot more massive and a lot more powerful. But to play the left tackle position like he's played and to be, a guy that, I mean, I didn't know who Charles Cross was until this year, until 5 or 6 games ago, And once you hear the name and start seeing the draft boards and he's probably going to be playing in Mobile for the Senior Bowl and things like that at some point. And, it's impressive. I mean, he looks the part and plays the part, and I think he's going to make himself a lot of money. And proud for the guy. It's awesome. Fun to see big guys succeed.
Only a couple of minutes left. I got two things for you. Number one, nastiest interior defensive lineman you ever went against?
Oh, that's a hard one because both of them I practiced against them on my own team. So coming up, Fletcher, I was on scout team, 2010, and guy was unblockable. Obviously, I was a freshman from Benton Academy who had never seen anything like that. We were from the same county, but I'd never blocked him. Knew him well, but he ate my lunch day in and day out, and then, man, just Chris Jones on good when I was a starter. I mean, the guys, you saw it last night. I hated him doing my guy Dak like that. But, he's just unreal. He's a strong, fast. He's everything. If you built a player on Madden, there's Chris Jones. He was the hardest guy to block, bar none. And I still, to this day, in my whole career, I never had, even comparing him to Fletcher, he was harder to block to me than Fletcher was, and he was the hardest guy I ever went against.
And then number two, and I don't even care about the results, so 2013, 2014, I don't know if you got in 2012 in the Egg Bowl. Give me one play from inside one of those games that you remember that kind of stands out above all the rest. Is there a single one where you pancaked a guy or you had a combo block or, you sprung somebody for a big run or –
How much
you jumped early? we got about a minute and a half.
Well, I can tell you this. So my biggest thing was 2013. There was a guy named Kim Dichie that was, the media loved. Everybody thought he was all world. When we watched film on him, he wasn't what his perception was. He was never the guy that everybody claimed him to be. I'm not talking down on the guy. Just is what it is. You talk to anybody that's played or watched film on him, he super freak looking athlete, very fast, but very lazy, and he wasn't very, you know, he wasn't as strong as he might have been in the weight room. So the whole time leading up to that, I was going to block him in 13, and Coach Hevesy was, as y'all know, I mean, just, I love Coach Hevesy, but he's a wild man. He's crazy. He just stayed on my case all week. You're going to let this guy embarrass you. He's all this, he's all that, he's, you know, blah, 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 blah. So going into that game, just getting off the ball and owning that guy all night, and our whole team, you know, just that night, that whole, it's not really one play, but just coming out of that game knowing that this guy that, you know, everybody talks about, and then some no-name guy playing right guard with long hair has, you know, dominated him and graded out that game in the 90s and had a great experience. So that, just going into that, that kind of leads back to my mentality, though. I'm a chip on my shoulder. You tell me I can't do something, I'm going to go prove you wrong. And that was fun for me to go out and take, you know, taking on and own a guy that was, you know, one of the best recruits in the country and went on to the NFL. And I think he proved to everybody who he was when he got there. And that's a story for another day. But
That was also, and we're out of time on this, you at that point were a little bit of a veteran and had some tricks, and he was still figuring it out as a freshman that year.
Right.
May have been a learning experience for him that night in a big way. Ben, man, can't thank you enough for your time a couple of different times this afternoon. Wish you and your family a happy Thanksgiving and hope we can catch up again soon.
Thanks, Ben.
Man, I appreciate y'all. Thanks. Hail State.
Sports Talk Mississippi, Ben Beckwith joining us on the Farm Bureau phone line.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.